lawyer. So, well, hey, after the break, we've got DA George Brockler on his run for governor. Also, we'll get his comment on a lot of current events. George is never one to shy away from a comment. So we'll come back with DA George Brockler here on News Talk 710 KNUS. 710 KNUS, the Dan Kaplis Show. I'm Casey Blair, filling in for Dan Kaplis. You know me, I produced the Peter Boyle Show and the Dan Kaplis Show. I also have a Sunday night show called The Bloyer Effect that you can check out from 8 to 11 every Sunday night. I do that show with my brother, and I actually think he might get a little bit slower. And all right, I'm not going to go there. Let's just say we have a lot of fun on Sunday nights, so we always enjoy our time. But I'm going to go to the hotline now, and somebody who has been on that show with myself and my brother is D.A. George Brockler, who's running for governor. Hey, George, how you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Casey. Thanks for having me on, and congratulations for getting to fill in for Dan. This is a great spot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I think it's just they were scraping the bottom of the barrel, and they said, hey, we can't get anybody, Casey, jump in there. So
I do not believe you.
Well, right on. Well, hey, George, as always, I appreciate your time. And before we get to some of the serious stuff, if people don't know, George is a big baseball fan, and not only does he love the Colorado Rockies, that's his National League team, who they're kind of in a tailspin right now.
Oh, buddy.
Ooh, eight in a row. Eesh. And,
but you know, here's the funny thing about that, and Rockies fans will get this. If we weren't in such a hyper-competitive division, we'd still be doing well, right? We'd be rocking some other division. But you can't be going against the red-hot Dodgers and a resurgent Diamondback team and drop eight in a row.
Yep.
Good gravy, right before the break.
Well, not only that, then you face San Francisco, and they're a team that you have to beat. So that's that's tough to watch. But you being a district attorney, and I'm sure you've had many battles with judges, but I got to imagine you kind of big on a judge out of New York right now.
Well, quite a display recently. I mean, yeah, that was a great win yesterday, too. Big score. It bothers me to see Boston hanging around the way they do. I'd really like to see them take an eight-game skid just like our Rocks did.
Yes.
But, man, the pressure's on heading into the All-Star game. Jeez.
I tell you, but this is what makes baseball so great, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. Everybody forgets that, right?
Just like a campaign, my man.
Exactly. Well, hey, George, thank you so much for coming on. Let's move on to, and if you want to find out more about George and his campaign and everything going on there, you can check him out at george2018.com. That's george2018.com. And you can get all your information there. And if you want to donate to George as well, it's on there also. George, before we get into some of the topics, talk about how your campaign's going and what you've been doing.
Buddy, it's great. First off, this is a ridiculously large state. And when you look at it on a map, and from time to time you drive into the mountains to go skiing, maybe you take the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and your family down to the sand dunes, you remark on how big it is. But you really don't know how big it is until you try to drive around this whole thing to get to know people, the different parts of the state, the issues they have. It's a giant state. It's the eighth largest state in the United States. It feels like the fifth largest state in the United States. It's huge, but feedback's been tremendous. I mean, you get a little bogged down and tired from all the driving, but then when you get to a place where good Coloradans who just want a better tomorrow and want to see the most that they can out of their state for themselves, their kids, and then they give you the response that they give you when you go and talk with them, and you feel like, you know, I can do this. I mean, I'm not the rich guy. I'm not the guy who's spent a career in politics. I don't have D.C. connections or a statewide network. I don't come from a dynastic political family. But you come away from those groups a little bit at a time, neighborhood to neighborhood, community to community, and you start to think, man, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to get this done. It's quite a challenge.
And we're still quite a ways away, and it's one of those things that you are out there pounding the pavement, but also you're still working full-time. I mean, how tough is that to juggle between that, the campaign, and doing your job as DA?
Buddy, I'm at my desk right now in between 18 million emails and trying to coordinate stuff between HR issues, trying to stay on top of cases we have. Like right now, we have a large case going on in Colorado Springs where we're the special prosecution, where our office is prosecuting the former sheriff. We've got some other officer-involved things that we take care of. It's refreshing to not have to campaign all day, every day. That would be a soul-sucking experience. But at the same time, buddy, my hair is turning white quickly. Now, during that Aurora Theater trial, the bloggers that would follow this thing every day, and they were a great group, they had started referring to me as AC on the blog. It was a couple of years ago now. Like 2 years ago right now, I'm in trial. And for months, we didn't know what AC meant until somebody put out there on the blog that it meant Anderson Cooper. And I thought, what an insult to Anderson Cooper. You know? But now my hair is starting to catch up to his. His is like white. It's ridiculous, the stress, the pressure. There's a ton of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things I always see. And you're one of the few people. I get up so early with the Peter Boyle Show, you know, and I try to beat Pete in here, but that guy's in here at unreal.
The undead.
I'm telling you.
I'm not sure he's going to sleep.
No, the guy never does. I'm telling you right now. And one of the things that I try and keep up with him is just staying on the topics. But the other person that's usually up around that time rolling is Mr. George Brockler, because I start seeing some tweets rolling in, and I go, oh, man, George is already going, man. I mean, on average, how many hours of sleep do you get? Is it like 3 to 4?
Yeah, and it's been that way. I can't blame it on just the campaign or the job. There's just little things that take place that over time chisel away at your sleep. And if I could give anybody listening advice, it's don't ever put yourself in a position to not get 7 to 8 hours of sleep and make it a habit. And once you do, like I slept better in Iraq than I sleep now. And some of that is a product of the trial. You know, there was a lot about the trial that plagued me when we went through it. I mean, there were the youngest victim in that theater was a 6-year-old girl that bastard shot 4 times with an assault rifle. And at the same time, I got a 6-year-old at home who's crawling into bed with me, you know, as kids want to do. And it was tough to get my mind settled. And then just as I think I'm coming out of it, some idiot makes the decision to run for governor of the state of Colorado. And now I'm laying in bed. You know, I sleep for 2, up for a couple, down for 2, up, reading the paper, doing a little bit of tweeting, that kind of stuff. People won't know this looking at me. I'm 32. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm well into my 40s. But
I was going to let it slide. I was going to let it slide.
Yeah. People would have been like, what? No, I'm not.
Well, and we're talking with DA George Brockler, who's running for governor here in Colorado. And, George, one of the things I want to shift to here is healthcare is on everybody's mind. The last couple of days on the Dan Caple Show, we've been blown up with phone calls about it. I'm of the adage here with the GOP and the way they're handling this. I fully believe that they have to get it right, because if they don't, it's going to be an absolute catastrophe for them, and moving forward will just be more problems. And I don't think that they need – I think they're rushing this. I don't think they need to rush this. I think they need to get it right, not just – pass anything through. And it's one of those things where I think the GOP is on notice if they don't. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that?
I think there's a real battle here going on out in D.C. Between those who want to get it as close to perfect as possible and those who feel like, look, we have got to do something. If we don't live up to this promise, and the longer we delay, we feel like that's in jeopardy, the more we're going to call into question our ability to lead, given the fact that we have our hands on all the levers of government. And what is that going to look like as we head into 2018? Their ability to strike and get things done is narrow. It's not all the way through November of 2018. I mean, by the time we hit the fourth quarter here of 2017, campaigns are going to be in full mode. You already see people jumping in on the Democrat side in every seat in Colorado, and they're going to start to ramp up the rhetoric. You can see people coming after Gardner. He's not even up for re-election until 2020, but they want him. Kaufman, the 2 open seats now, because there are 2 other congressmen who are jumping into the governor's race. Both of those have multiple Democrat candidates vying for them, and this will be the sine qua non issue that they use to try to tie everyone to Trump and to try to blow up Republicans across the state, and that is the failure of health care, either to get it done or to do it wrong. So it's a little bit of a precarious position. I'd like to see the Republicans move forward, hopefully with Democrat help, and I'd like to see them not let the perfect be the enemy of the good and get something done here. Now, that CBO scoring thing is a little ridiculous. If you've done any research on it, you can see that 22 million of people that won't have insurance anymore, it's not the same thing as kicking 22 million disabled and poor people off the rolls. That's not what's happening. Yeah. So I'd encourage people to go look at that.
Yeah, Ted, just a little bit misleading in those numbers as well. So one of the things that I saw you tweeting about this morning, and I wanted to get your take on, is you were tweeting about how wages have dropped in Colorado, but yet housing prices are moving up here as well. I mean, and in all counties they were down. I mean, Douglas County, it's down 6.8%. Jefferson, it's down 0.9%. Adams, 1.3%. Arapahoe, 1.8%. So, you know, all over the state, Colorado statewide, it's down. And average for the state, it's down 1.5%, and which is a weekly wage of $1,086. One of the things as you see is a lot of people are working, but the prices are going up, but yet nobody's moving into houses and rent's just getting more expensive. How is something here in Colorado that we handle moving forward with that?
That is a great question, and it's one that we have to address quickly. I don't think we can wait for a new election for whoever's going to be governor, me. But I think we need to address this quickly, and here's why. You've got a bunch of policies at work there that in and of themselves are pitched as compassionate, we care about people, we're standing up for people's rights, and they take this kind of a form. Well, we want to have mandated minimum wage increase. We want to have mandated provision of medical coverage for employers who achieve a certain number of employees. We want to make sure that homeowners are able to liberally sue home builders for the defects that they cause that might, you know, call into question the value of their homes or even their own safety. We start to accumulate policies like that, and what we see is exactly this. We have a low unemployment rate, maybe the lowest for any metro area in the United States, 2.3, but it's a bit of a lie because we also have a huge non-participation rate, and that's taking place across the country too. I can't remember the exact number, but it's like 10% or more of able-bodied working-age males not actively engaged in seeking employment. There's a problem with that. We've got a housing industry that is desirous of wanting to build homes, but two things are working against them. One, this construction defect nonsense, which the legislature barely scratched the surface on, and two, they don't have the skilled labor available to them in the state of Colorado to build the homes that they want to build. That's not me talking. That's them talking. You know, since about 10 years ago, when we shifted education policy away from career and college ready to just college ready, we've lost the ability to create a generation of glaziers, masons, pipe fitters, you know, electricians, plumbers, all of those things that you need to build stuff. We don't have enough supply of that skilled labor here. So what the construction industry is going to do, much to the chagrin of those who drive our roads, is import more and more people from outside Colorado to come in here and do the jobs our kids should be doing. They're going to add cars to the roads, more congestion. We've done nothing to address transportation. And pretty soon it's cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria.
And it's something moving forward that, you know, I mean, I'm a younger married. Well, I'm 40, so I still consider that young.
That's young.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where housing here in this state. I mean, my wife and I about a year ago were starting to talk about looking somewhere, but it got to the point where you're like, look, why am I moving anywhere when I just know that it's just going to balloon up more, and at some point we're going to pay a price for that. And moving forward, and about trade workers, you know, I worked for Denver Water for 10 years. I worked on large water main crews.
That's great.
And it's some of the best work I ever did in my entire life. Now I'd be lying to you to tell you if I missed it. When main break is in the winter and there's snow out there, I don't miss that one bit, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, I mean, it goes to you talking about we need more workers like that. We haven't pushed young kids to that anymore. We talk about all these other jobs, but we're losing trade jobs right and left, and it's something that drives this country, and we're in big trouble if we don't address it, like you said.
Not just for the economy and the housing market, but don't we have an obligation to these kids to put them in a position, if they're not going to go to college, and a huge chunk of them won't, to put them in a position to have meaningful jobs and careers in the middle class and beyond? I mean, these are $75,000 a year, $80,000 a year jobs waiting out there to be filled. Instead, because we've focused all on college, you get numbers like this. Denver has a 65% on-time graduation rate for high school. That's offensive, right? That means what's happening to those other 35% of those kids? Aurora, it's 50%. What are we doing for the other 50% of those kids? And the ones that do graduate, 57% go on to college. What about the other 43% who aren't? And then the worst statistic of all is for all those who end up graduating on time to go to college from Colorado, 36%, about a third of them, have to pay money and spend time taking remedial classes to get caught up to where they should have been when they left our taxpayer-funded high schools. That's offensive.
Yeah, it's one thing that it's continually being neglected here in the state, and it's something that I hope we look forward to in the future. We're talking with DA George Brockler, and as we're wrapping up here, George, just moving forward, what can people do to be involved, to help you out, or and where are you going next?
Look, selfishly, I'd like people to go to my website and pay attention to me and ask me questions and contribute and volunteer and all that to mine at george2018.com. But honestly, I'm also a Coloradan, and I want to see the best candidate move forward. And while I'm trying to be that best candidate, I think people should go out there and consider everyone that's willing to throw their hat in the ring. It is not a small deal to sign up for statewide office. I'm finding that out more and more. But go out there, get informed, ask the hard questions. If someone was in public office, ask them, what did you accomplish while you were in public office? Not what did you talk about and what did you hype, but what did you get done? If there's someone that's in the community, ask them, what have you done for the community that puts you in a position to be governor? If there's someone that has a voting record, why did you vote this way? Just ask someone who they voted for president. I mean, things like that matter in terms of trying to discern who's in a best position to represent Colorado, I think, in the best way moving forward. I think it's me, of course, but I want everyone to consider everyone else also and then vote for me.
I like it. Well, since I'm gonna press you to what you said, since you were asking questions, George, in this last presidential election, who did you vote for?
I voted for our Republican nominee, Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States. That's who I voted for.
See, so that's how it works. You ask the questions, you get the answers. That's one of the things that I love about George is I always know that I'm going to get his honest opinion, whether I agree with it or not. He's going to tell me what he thinks, and I always appreciate his time. Hey, George, until we have you on again, always great to talk to you, buddy.
Buddy, thanks for having me on again, and congrats on this spot, man. Keep it going.
Right on. Thanks, George. Take care. Have a good day, partner.
Go Yankees,
buddy. Oh, always. And that is D.A. George Brockler, who is running for governor in Colorado. When we